today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You know, Patrick, in these difficult times, it's important to remember the pleasures of things like attending a Broadway show.
I agree, Jim.
And that's why we're having intern Sam on the show today.
But Jim, I have one question.
What's that, Patrick?
What's love got to do with it?
Okay, Patrick, I think it's time that maybe we check in on intern Sam. We haven't talked with him in a while, and I want to see how...
I think it's important.
Yeah, I want to see how he's doing amid the, you know, the crisis that's going on, and hope he's holding up okay. And so we have him here on the line from his respective home. How are you doing, Sam?
Hi, Jim. I'm doing pretty good. Self-isolation. So far, doing pretty good.
Good.
You've been working, though, pretty hard, right? For your regular job and for us.
Yeah. Yes. And for you. I'm still doing my regular job as a journalist in Washington. So obviously I'm not in D.C. right now. A lot of my job I've been able to do remotely, which I'm pretty thankful for.
Yep.
I've actually been able to do some stories as well for some of our stations. I did a story the other day on how blood drives are getting canceled, meaning that blood supply is running low. And then I did another story the other day on how rural electric co-ops are trying to keep the lights on while also keeping workers healthy. So it's been cool to do some stories on this stuff as well while being remote. But I do miss being in person, because that's the best part about being a journalist, is going up to people and talking to them.
Right.
So, yeah, I miss that.
Well, it's always cool during Sam's regular job. Like it was a few weeks back, maybe a month or so, Jimmy texted us and just said, "Oh yeah, ran into Tim Kaine, says hi."
Tim Kaine did say hi. Yeah, I went up to him. I go, "Hey, so it was during the impeachment inquiry. It was right as I was getting started, and I go up to him and I go, "Hey, do you remember when two guys came by for a music podcast, Rockin' the Suburbs?" He goes, "Yeah, I remember those two guys." I said, "Oh yeah, I work behind the scenes on their show." It's like, "Oh, no kidding! Tell them I said hello."
That's awesome.
It was so great.
That was great. Very cool.
He's a good man. Very cool.
Okay, so this show is Rockin' the Suburbs, as you mentioned. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
And of course, we like to thank Sam for all the work he does on our podcast. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate that. Now, Sam, before a lot of things started shutting down and we went into the whole, you know, extreme social distancing and all of that, you did get to see one cool show before a lot of this stuff occurred, right?
I did. I got to see the show Tina, the Tina Turner musical on Broadway. Mm. I saw it 2 days before Broadway shut down.
Wow.
So it was quite an experience now, looking back on it. It was really something. So I'm not from New York originally. My family and I, we typically take a trip there once a year, and we always try to see a Broadway show if we can. We aren't, you know, Tina Turner super fans, but the show looked good. This was, I think, its first Broadway run ever. It used to be another show in 2018. It was somewhere else. It first started on London's West End, and then it went to Hamburg, and then it went to Broadway. So that's where we are now. And the whole story, I think, is based on Tina Turner's biography that came out in the 80s. And Tina Turner is one of the producers on the show. And it's just a whole story about her life growing up in Nutbush, Tennessee, to eventually playing with Ike Turner and then eventually becoming a solo performer. It's a pretty incredible tale that is retold on Broadway.
What is the format like? Is it a biographical representation of her career, as you said, and then like interspersed with like musical numbers? Is that sort of how it would come off?
Exactly, yes. So it's a biography of her life and career, and then the music that's in the show are from songs that she's covered or songs that she sang in her career solo or with Ike Turner. And all these songs are injected in certain points of her life. For example, at the opening of the show where she's growing up, they do a gospel rendition of Nutbush City Limits, which is incredible. Mm. And then that ends up being the finale song of the show. They do the actual Nutbush City Limits. They call it Nutbush City Limits. Nutbush City Limits. Nutbush City Limits. Ha, ha, you're gonna feel all weekday. Feel all weekday. Have a picnic call every day. Picnic call every day. Call it out on Saturday. Sound on Saturday. Come and check out on Sunday. They call it Nutbush. They call it Nutbush. They call it Nutbush. And then they do some other solo bits where she's in different parts of her life. When she was playing in Ike's band, when she was having an affair. Well, not really an affair, but she was having a relationship with one of Ike's performers. And they did a rendition of Let's Stay Together, which is a song that Tina Turner did eventually cover. It's little pieces like that that they were able to throw in.
I mean, do they get into some of the controversial stuff, you know, the abuse and that sort of thing?
Yes. They certainly did not shy away from that. It definitely was, it was pretty dark and disturbing at some points of the show. Okay. It was really sad, too. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was really sad that that Tina Turner, who is an exceptional performer and just an all-star talent, unfortunately was subjected to this abuse and manipulation by Ike Turner. And it drove her at one point to overdose on Valium.
Yeah.
That's, I'm sure a lot of people that grew up in the late 60s, 70s remember when that happened. Yeah, the abuse was bad and it wasn't revealed until she had written her biography.
Oh, I know.
Right.
People in music throw around the term comeback, you know, just when an artist has a big, you know, hit record years after their last one or whatever. But in Tina Turner's case, it was a true, like, triumphant comeback, because it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just her career, but it was like her life, really. She kind of had to like overcome some really dark times and get her life sort of back in order, and then to have the kind of success that she had in the 80s was one of the great comeback stories, I think, in music history.
Absolutely. And they highlight that comeback. I mean, I didn't realize that when she left Ike, she only had 36 cents to her name. Yeah. And a credit card. She had nothing. And then to make ends meet, she was scrubbing toilets and performing in Vegas, which they referred to in the show as the singer's graveyard. It was pretty incredible, though, to watch how her comeback, how it occurred, and the musicians that she worked with, and how she wanted to change her image to fit with certain styles of music. And it was just incredible how this comeback just came about.
And was it Adrienne Warren that played Tina in the show you saw, Sam?
It was. We got to see it with her, which was really exciting.
Yeah.
Because it was the Tuesday show. The Sunday show, I think, was with the I'm blanking on the other performer that plays Tina, but the other performer that plays Tina, but Adrienne is the original Tina performer. Yeah. that did it on West End, and she, oh my God, she was unbelievable. Just unbelievable. She's got to be like 5 foot tall, 5 foot two, and her voice is just powerful. Just powerful. And her rendition of Tina Turner songs was spot on, and her dancing was exceptional, just a phenomenal performer.
I mean, what a tough role to play. What a challenging role to have to play a personality as giant as Tina Turner, man. That's got to be a big challenge. It really does.
Certainly, I agree.
There's a book I was rereading, have been rereading recently, and you know, times like this, you tend to turn to favorite things that are kind of comforting. And in this book, it's about the 1969 Rolling Stones tour of America. At one point, the opening acts for the Stones were B.B. King, Chuck Berry, and Ike and Tina Turner. Yeah. And then the Stones would come on. How amazing was that? And on that whole tour, they did two shows every night. So sometimes the Stones wouldn't hit the stage for the second show at like 3 or 4 in the morning. Like, not something that would happen today. But Ike and Tina, supposedly Tina, was just unbelievable during that 1969 tour. Like, really at, you know, the peak of her powers.
Yeah. And that is also highlighted in the show. I mean, Tina Turner in real life, her energy, her drive, her grind is just unbelievable, you know, from also being a mother to dealing with Ike, to going out on stage and performing, all while all this crazy stuff is happening in her personal life, is just just unbelievable.
Focus must be incredible. And in this book, they were talking about the Ikeettes, and Mick Jagger was going out with, or sort of seeing one of them, and Tina had to come in and lay the law down with Mick and say, look, do what you want, but just make sure she's there when it's time for me to go on stage. She was about ready to bust him in half. Mix it. Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome.
Didn't they do some duet together in the 80s, Mick and Tina?
They did. Yeah, I think they did later on.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, when they both sort of were enjoying their solo careers at some point.
State of Shock.
State of Shock. Yeah, that's it.
That was,
I forgot
the song
about that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's not a bad song.
Wasn't State of Shock by the Jacksons originally with Mick Jagger? And then
Oh, wait. Maybe you're right. That was the first thing that came up was Tina Turner, Mick Jagger, State of Shock. So maybe that was a live thing. Hang on. But I thought there was a...
Oh, I forgot he did State of Shock with the Jacksons. Yeah.
Maybe they just performed together live. Maybe that's all. They played it Live Aid.
They didn't sing it Live Aid. Okay. Yeah.
They played State of Shock there. So that's... There you go.
Ah, okay.
Okay. We get there eventually. Just takes us a little while. Sorry.
But they do touch on the fact that she did work with David Bowie, and she worked with Rod Stewart, and also that she worked with Mick Jagger. Although they don't necessarily highlight, you know, they don't have someone come out dressed up as David Bowie. They just kind of mention it offhand during the show.
Okay.
How big was the theater, roughly? Do you have a sense of that?
It was... that's a great question, because I don't go to too many Broadway shows.
Right. So you don't have to answer that. But in general, one of the great things about going to a Broadway show is the theaters aren't huge. It's not like the Kennedy Center, I think, which, right. You know, is really enormous. Like, they tend to be, I think, like around 1,000 seats or something like that. So when you see something like that, that's like a big, you know, powerful, like kind of musical like that. It probably just totally fills that room. Right.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And that's a good point that you make there, Jim. This isn't Kennedy Center size. This is, like you said, about 1,000 seats. It was pretty small. And, I mean, because this whole coronavirus pandemic was really starting to heat up in New York, some seats were empty. So the whole row in front of us was empty.
Wow.
And I think someone, I remember at intermission, someone that actually was sitting all the way in the front came up to us and wanted to sit in the row in front of us because they were like... Please, I've been leaning my head back the entire time watching the show, and my neck's killing me. I need to sit in the seat. And we're like, go for it.
That's wild. That is pretty small. That's cool. That must be even cooler to see it in that setting. That's neat.
Yeah, and we were deaf by the end of the show. I mean, it was so loud.
Right. Right. That's awesome.
Was the song River Deep, Mountain High part of the show, Sam? Did they do that?
River Deep, Mountain High. That is a good question. I actually have the playbill in front of me, so I'm double checking that because it was two weeks ago.
Great Phil Spector arrangement, right?
Yeah, it's such an interesting...
They actually did have someone in... Yeah, it is. So River Deep, Mountain High. Okay. That's good that you mentioned that because they did sort of bring about the Phil Spector collaboration. They had somebody play Phil Spector in the show, and they basically broke to Ike Turner in this performance that... you're not going to be singing on this. You're just playing bass.
Right.
It's going to be you two, but Tina is going to be the main lead vocal. And he's like, okay. And it was a little tense, but that was a phenomenal performance. They had the whole stage built up like a recording studio with Phil Spector sitting in the back. And it was really cool. Really cool.
That is cool.
When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll. Only doll I've ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love the rag doll. Only now my love is grown.
That's such a key moment in Spector's career, too. You know, he put so much time and effort and thought this was going to be this massive, you know, career hit and defining song. And it kind of was a lukewarm reception when it came out.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the whole thing with Ike, I mean, obviously, he deserves a lot of the criticism that he gets.
Yeah.
But musically, let's just say musically, Ike Turner was a pioneer of R&B and rock and roll. And I think he dealt with a lot of, you know, obviously, like a lot of jealousy issues when Tina started to become the true star of their act, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They definitely show that Ike was an incredibly talented performer and was just a legend when it came to playing bass guitar, when it came to playing synthesizer. I mean, he was incredible. And I think I remember reading somewhere that on Nutbush, the synth bridge that Ike Turner plays is one of the most legendary pieces of music to come out of the funk rock era. Just that innovative synth bridge apparently was super popular. But yeah, they show how talented he was, but at the same time, they also show what a
bad human being he was. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. I want to say another word, but I can't say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was not a very good human being. No.
Right.
No. Well, and, you know, I think from early on in Ike's career, he was bitter. I mean, if you read the story of the song Rocket 88 that was recorded in Sun Records, you know, most people say he wrote that and it should have been credited to Ike and his Kings of Rhythm. But instead, it was credited to Jackie Brinston, who was like a saxophone player in his band or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And they do start out the right at the beginning of the play where right in the part of the play where Tina is joining Ike, Ike actually does touch on that a little bit. The character that the actor that plays Ike touches on that and says, oh yeah, we wrote that, but they won't credit us. And yeah, it's you could tell that didn't sit with him well for, I think, forever.
Yeah, that definitely right. put him on a bad side to start with. Yeah.
Jalopies, you heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
Incredible song, Rocket 88, for sure.
Oh, really is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Now I want to watch the Tina Turner movie. What's Love Got to Do with It? I'm looking it up on the streamings right now.
The one with Angela Bassett?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I haven't seen it. I've never seen it. So
I haven't either. So, Sam, you mentioned going into this that you were, you know, kind of sort of a Tina Turner fan. Did you leave a bigger fan?
Yes, I did. I did. I actually wrote down before we started recording a bunch of songs that I started listening to right after the show. So the only songs that I had known by Tina Turner going into this were What's Love Got to Do with It, We Don't Need Another Hero, the theme for Thunderdome, The Best, and Goldeneye. Those are the only songs I knew by Tina Turner. And then after that, I didn't realize that she covered Let's Stay Together. I didn't realize that Ike and Tina did a exceptional cover of Proud Mary. I had never heard Nutbush City Limits ever until I went into the show. And then I didn't know that she did a cover of Disco Inferno, and I didn't know that she did a cover of the Ann Peebles song I Can't Stand the Rain. So I mean, when I heard that cover during the show, I was like, oh my god, that's so good. That's really, really good. So yeah, I'm a bigger fan now. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, that Ike and Turner review, I mean, that era, it's really like sort of pioneering soul music, and the sheer like power and force that they, you know, that they produced on records and certainly on stage. You know, if you see any clips of that, you know, it's really something to behold. They probably deserve more credit than they even get in terms of pop music history.
Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. And I think Ike's guitar playing definitely is pretty influential on the Stones, just to mention one group. So,
all right, cool. Well, thanks for sharing this with us.
That was great.
Yeah, no
Sam.
Problem. And eventually, when Broadway opens back up, and hopefully the show will continue its Broadway run for the rest of this year, highly recommend anybody to go out and see this, because it is it is truly spectacular.
Wonderful. Okay.
Sounds like a great show. Yeah.
If anybody else has comments on Tina Turner, please send them our way. You can call 612-440-1984. There you go. Or What's the email address, Sam?
rock@suburbspod.com.
There you go. And what social medias? Where are we there?
We are on the Facebook, we are on the Twitter, and we are on the Instagram.
Very good. And you know this because you maintain all of those, right?
Every day, yes.
Every day, exactly. And then, and all those are at Suburbs Pod. And then visit the website because Sam does a great job with that.
Certainly
you can buy
does.
Stuff there now. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can read the articles.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the show, obviously, there. All that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. You can do a lot of things on that website, and highly recommend people come and visit. We also have a song list there, so go check that out.
That's right. Maintain the song list, and there'll be some good songs coming out of this episode for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, and all right, there we go. So, Sam, you're going to stick around. We're going to talk to you tomorrow, right? We're going to call you back tomorrow. If we get a nice
I have nowhere else
rest.
To go.
Okay. All right, so you're going to want to listen to that. So it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
I've been having my mother-in-law binge Seinfeld. So unfortunately, we're on season 8. We're running out of episodes. We're going to have to find something else.